Receive the call to worship. We're glad to be in the house of God today as a congregation. We welcome those who are family and friends. Lord, bless us together as we worship God in spirit and in truth. And in the name of Jesus Christ, expect every blessing from God and that he would be praised. We have an incentive to praise God, and this psalmist inspired of God leads the way in our worship this morning from Psalm 103. When he encourages his own soul in the blessing of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What great blessings are celebrated here in this well-known Psalm 103. And later on in the psalm, the psalmist celebrates the reasons why there's so many blessings from God. And it's simply this, beloved, the mercies of God. The mercies of God from east to west to us so that our sins are forgiven from east to west. That's why we're here. God has had pity, and may we love that pitying God and love him for his love and be glad and show this in our worship and service. Our help is in his name. He's made the heavens, he's made the earth and all that is in them, and he's made us to be the people of his praise through Jesus Christ, the redeeming Savior and his indwelling Spirit. Receive now God's benediction. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Lord through the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue our worship in song in number 206, My Soul, Bless the Lord. Let's sing 1, 5, 7, and 8 of 206.
When God delivered his people out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt, he did so with mighty works and with a display of his glory, putting to shame the mighty land of Egypt and Pharaoh and the gods of the Egyptians. And he brought his people out with a call to worship, to gather in his presence at Mount Sinai to hear his voice. And so even in this day, we hear the voice of God as he has recorded his words in the scriptures in Exodus chapter 20, where we read, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." And when our Lord Jesus Christ was asked, "What is the great commandment?" He answered, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And a second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor and as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Let's turn in our Psalter hymnals to number 239, "My Grieving Soul Revive, O Lord." Let's sing the stanzas of 239. As we examine our lives in the light of God's law, we must acknowledge that we have fallen far short and do fall short of God's glory. But we find in God's word the comfort of the fact that he has provided the Savior, the one in whom we have forgiveness of our sins. We read in Psalm 103, "He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Let's take comfort in the great salvation that God has provided in Christ Jesus. Let's turn to our God in prayer. Father in heaven, you are the God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself, first of all, as the God of forgiveness, the God of grace, the God of mercy. For, O Lord, we could not bear to face the God of holiness and justice without that mercy and grace. Lord, we thank you that you have clothed us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the one who shed his own blood to wash away our sins, the one who is indeed God in the flesh, who came to this earth and took upon himself our flesh and blood so that he might bear our sins, that he might fulfill all righteousness, and that he might truly be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, we thank you that in his name you have gathered to yourself a people, a people to be holy, a people to be called by your name and to be under your protection and to be dedicated to holiness and to be conformed to the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the rich promises in your word of forgiveness, of grace, of daily cleansing for all those who confess their sins and trust in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. We thank you that you gather us together into the body of believers, and that you supply all of your blessings through your Holy Spirit and even through the members of the church, so that we strengthen one another as we are gathered together, and as we minister to one another, and as we show the love of Christ to one another, as those who are part of one body, joined together as the parts of the body are, so we function together as those who are established in grace as the body of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that head of the body, Jesus Christ, that one who has ascended to the highest heavens and whom you have seated at your right hand, who sits in the seat of power and directs all things according to your marvelous purposes, and that one to whom you have given all authority and power so that he is the one who will also judge all men. Lord, we thank you that the judge is also the one who is our Savior, so that we need not fear that final judgment, but indeed we long for that day that you have established, that day that is the culmination of history, in which you bring together all of your purposes in Christ Jesus, and in which all of your people rejoice to see the great salvation that you have accomplished and that you will fulfill as Christ comes into the glory of his kingdom, and we see him on the clouds of heaven with power, with his mighty angels, and with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. And we pray, O Lord, that that you would hasten that day so that we might see it come soon. And we pray, O Lord, that as we continue in this place, as you have placed us here, that we may continue to show forth the glories of that one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, we pray for our nation. We ask, O Lord, that you would so move the hearts of rulers so that that your gospel may abound and that it may increase in this land, that sinners may be called to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, that you would add to your church those who are ordained to eternal life. We pray also for our church here that you would continue to add to our numbers those whom you have ordained for fellowship with us. And we pray, O Lord, a blessing on those who are members here, that we may continue to grow in grace and abound in love for you and for one another. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with sin and who desire to overcome this. We pray, O Lord, that you would give strength through your Holy Spirit so that we might indeed show your glory in the flesh as we manfully fight against and overcome sin in our lives, that we might in this way also show your glory. We pray that you would strengthen us so that we might depend upon you and that your Holy Spirit would give us the power to overcome sin. We pray for those who are troubled. We ask, O Lord, that you would give comfort, that we might find comfort in your word and the great promises of your word in the revelation of your glory, of your person and your work in Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray, O Lord, for those with small children. We ask, O Lord, for patience and grace as we deal with the raising of children, that we might do so in the fear of the Lord and train these young ones, these covenant children, in the paths that you have laid out for them. We pray for children that they may find it a joy to obey their parents and to walk in the paths that their parents call them to, and that there might be a joyful love in our households and our families, that our families may grow in love for one another. We pray, O Lord, for those who bring the gospel to other nations, for our missionaries, that you would strengthen them and that you would bring fruit on their labors, that there might be those who hear that gospel call and that the Holy Spirit might quicken hearts and cause them to respond to the gospel and believe and be joined to the church. We pray for our pastor. We thank you for the measure of healing that you've given to him, and we pray that may continue. We ask that you'll strengthen him as he brings the word this morning, be on his right hand and on his left. We pray for a blessing on the word. We thank you, O Lord, that this is your chosen means to strengthen your people, and we ask, O Lord, that you would bless us. Give us ears to hear. Give us the strength to concentrate on the spoken word and to listen carefully, to take instruction from that word, and to apply these things to our lives so that your name may be glorified. And we pray all these things in the name of our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to number 431, Our Father Clothed in Majesty. Let's sing stanzas 1, 5, and 10. Stanzas 1, 5, and 10 of 431.
We are privileged this morning to hear the gospel preaching of the petition in the Lord's Prayer, as our Lord has taught us. And in Matthew 6:11, that's where we're going to be speaking from. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the subject of the sermon. That's the wonderful petition of the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, for then and for there and for now and for here, and for our children as well. Very important petition, as they are all. The Lord's Prayer is the perfect prayer model for us. Not that we have to slavishly repeat every word of the Lord's Prayer to be in the Spirit as we're praying, but to shape our prayers, as we have seen in our consideration of every aspect of this perfect prayer for us. The Heidelberg Catechism, in asking the question, what is that petition, that fourth petition that we consider about daily bread, reminds us in this answer of basics of the truth of the fourth petition, our praying about daily bread. The Catechism gives us answer. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. There's a statement of the Reformed tradition, and there's many similar statements like this in other traditions, focusing on the fourth petition. I want to ask the question, though, in the introduction to the sermon, just why? Why is bread included in the Lord's Prayer? Just think of what we've been considering of every aspect of the prayer. We've considered the address to our Father, who art in heaven. That's the wonderful location of God for us, and the identity of God as our Father, and we are his children. And then the first petition, hallowed be thy name. It sounds so much higher and even more nobler than a prayer for bread. What can it be? What is Jesus doing here? And then the petition, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Those things also seem more nobler and more worthy of our attention and of God's than of bread, stomachs, and digestion. Then you consider the prayers that are after this prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. And then thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, the great doxology. But how in the world does the body and bread fit right in the middle as something that really belongs there? And people have come up with all kinds of ideas about that. We'll see that. But I want us to ask that question so we can answer it rightly, because the identity of the bread and our prayer for it is very important, clearly, because our Lord wants us to pray for bread. Now, to help us in this, the identity of the bread and our prayer for us, we have the Lord Jesus and the Word of God, the foundation of all of our instruction and this sermon, in Matthew 6. Let's turn to that now. This is the great Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is speaking in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7 of the things of the kingdom of heaven. And so we have the blessednesses of those who are his, who are poor in spirit, who are those who seek after righteousness. No, not bread, but they seek after righteousness. And all these wonderful interpretations of the law and how that committing adultery we can do with our eyes, even in church. And killing can be with an angry thought or word. Now in Matthew 6, Jesus is speaking about things. He's coming down to earth, as it were, from the lofty themes of the kingdom of heaven and reminding us that he knows we dwell in this earth and we have to deal with things and bread and the abuse of them and all of that. And he's especially combating in Matthew 6, and we're going to start reading at verse 16, two problems, or maybe three. And the first is the tendency of us all to spend too much time on things, even to make gods of them, make treasures of things. Food becomes, well, we need caviar. And daily bread becomes not only a car, but two, and a sports car at that. And so he's dealing with this abuse of things. And then later on, he deals with a real problem we have with things, especially things in the future. That is our tendency to worry. And Jesus gives no less than 10 reasons why we ought not to worry. And in the middle of all of this, in the Lord's Prayer, there is sandwiched in between the spiritual commandments or the spiritual petitions, the spiritual petition that we ought to pray for bread. Hear closely what the Lord would say to us as he speaks through your servant reading, Matthew 6:16 to the end. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And now this, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, that is, the riches and the things that men value of this earth. Now, there's no two gods, there's only one God. Therefore I say to you, do not worry. Here's that worry part. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles, that is the heathen, seek, the unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or as the King James, is the evil thereof. Beloved, may we hear this word of God, and I believe Jesus gives us a wonderful key to opening the door of our life in the midst of all the things of the world. When he gives in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer we are to make, give us this day our daily bread. And I want us to consider this just phrase by phrase, word by word in the Lord's Prayer to make it very simple. First of all, our prayer for bread, and then the daily part. Give us this day our daily bread, verse 11. And then the hour part, a very significant part of the Lord's Prayer. And then that life that results from it all. We might not think we're going to have much if we only ask God for bread, But with the right attitude and faith, children, begin now to pray this prayer. There's a wonderful answer to prayer. It leads us to the higher life, the life of the more with God. That's really what Jesus is wanting us to think about and to cultivate when he's saying, we are to pray to God our Father, give us this day our daily bread. The higher life, the more life, but the life that is higher on this earth, in the body, with bread that God gives as we ask him in humble dependence. This is why it's a mistake for people to spiritualize the bread. Some, perhaps many, have done this, and even early on, there was a certain Latin translation of the Bible that translated daily bread as a, in a kind of Latin sort of way, as a supersubstantial bread, meaning there's something here about the bread we're to pray that's not just ordinary white and wheat and rye bread that you'd make a sandwich with. And rather, this early father, and the Roman Catholic Church picked up on this, was suggesting, with no proof, that this bread here, the daily bread, is a reference to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the bread in the supper, the holy bread. In those days in the early church, the Lord's Supper was in a large measure and regions of the church celebrated regularly, daily. And so they surmised that Jesus was referring to this, that we ought to speak and pray for this holy bread, that Christ would be in that bread and realized as we eat and drink of him in the supper. No proof for that, but that's an effort by the early church fathers and even those who left the faith to spiritualize the bread. They didn't want this earthly thing in this prayer. How can you have that with the kingdom, after all? How can you have soul things with body things? They just don't mix. Others have spiritualized bread altogether. And they've said, well, this is simply the bread that's Jesus. Give us this day our daily Jesus. And remember in John 6, as he's feeding the 5,000, he speaks of himself as the bread of life and the manna from heaven. That seems to fit, daily bread. Remember, God gave the people manna in the wilderness every day, except in the last day, not on the Sabbath day. Before that, he gave them 2 days' worth. But regularly, it was daily bread. And that manna, Jesus says, was Jesus. People fed on Jesus. And so people have said, this is daily Jesus. Give us this day our daily portion of the Lord. Well, the problem with that, of course, is it's not based on exegesis, meaning an explanation of the text, and of the text in light of the context, of the word bread, and of the uses of the word bread, and what Jesus is getting at, but it's based on a presupposition, a very dangerous thing to have when you're coming to the Bible, that it must say this because I just feel in my heart that to be spiritual, got to kind of be out of this body. After all, look at Matthew 6, Jesus speaks of fasting. Fasting isn't something that has to do with bread. It has to do with not eating bread. So we've got to rise above that. And Jesus speaks of the kingdom as something greater than you should seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Well, again, we're trying to identify the bread, and it seems here that these people, for whatever, however well-meaning they are, they have a point. The point is this. We do promote here, and the Christian church everywhere should promote, the first things first, the things of the soul. And the whole prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is to promote the things of the soul. And Jesus will say in this place and in others, if you gain the whole world and you go to every smorgasbord that you want and you can taste of all the dainties of the world and you gain it for yourself and you have billions of dollars, but you lose your soul, what's that? What's that? And so we're constantly teaching the priorities. priority is the bread from heaven, without which we die. And though we may be fat and our bellies may show that we are rich in the things below, yet without Jesus, we're nothing. Well, now, for all of that, again, we need to be exegetical here, to be explaining what the Bible teaches here and with regard to our existence in this earth in general. And the Bible teaches here and in this fourth petition that bread is something that's important for us, and our bodies are important. After all, we cannot pray, God's name be hallowed, and the kingdom come, and his will be done, except we be in the body, that is, as we're on earth. We need sustenance in this earth, nourishment. That's why moms and dads, children, say, eat up, drink, your bodies are important for you. Take care of your bodies, we say to our children as they go off gallivanting in their adventures and so on. And we say, be careful of your body. And in fact, at the conclusion of Romans 12, the whole book of Romans, which conclusion begins at Romans 12, there is this explanation of what we are to do with those mercies of the gospel. We're saved by faith alone, through Christ alone. And the apostle says there, under the inspiration of the Spirit, therefore I beseech you, by those mercies of God, according to them, as you know those spiritual things, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. And he's not meaning spiritual bodies, but your body bodies, all your body parts, your relationships, your life in this world. And that's what Jesus is promoting here, a life on the ground. Not halfway between heaven and earth, but on the ground, in this earth, with body parts and body needs, so that we are this amazing witness of the God who is with a people, the God who's above, and they're still on the ground. With all their needs and all their cares and all their worries and all their temptations, he wants us Christians to be really seen. You know, that's why Jesus came himself in the body. There's a sanctification of the body right away. He came in the body. Bodily things aren't evil. It's not spiritual simply to be out of body. Or to say, as Bernard of Clairvaux said to his monastery friends, when you come into this monastery, leave your body at the door. As if that was the spiritual thing. No. Jesus is saying, when he comes in the incarnation, when he walks among men, when he teaches this prayer, you count right here, right now. I'll resurrect your body, you'll be glorified, but right now you live in this unglorified body, in this inglorious earth, to show something of the glorious life with God. That's the prayer for bread, first of all. We pray for life in this body. We pray for it, to God for it, that we may show that we are receiving life from God, that we owe our existence and our well-being to God in this body. So God with us, to whom I pray, is the most important thing in our life. Isn't that true in this church? And in your churches, for those who may be visiting, you're taught that life with God is everything, aren't you? You're taught that you need God and you need him for everything. And see, what this does is it sets the tone for our life with God on this earth by reminding us of the God who is above, who is the creator. And the little things like, children, when we pray, and this is not just a good habit, but it's biblical, when we pray for God's blessing upon our food before our meals, many of us pray after our meals too, that God would give the blessing. That's so fundamental and important. Because we're saying life is not just in things. We pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. And that's not just put it on the table, but give us that so we can live. You realize that it's not just eating and drinking that makes you live. It's God who says, I'm going to make you live through this eating and drinking. This is so important here. So we're praying, God, bless the food with life without which there is no life. There isn't. Bless this food and drink to our body. And so there's a God dependence here that's taught. An identity of God who's above, who only is the source of our life, as the Catechism says, the fount of every good. But identity of us as the ones who truly know we need God in all the details of life. To hear, this is a God in the details petition. Not God just for the great things. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We sound really pompous about that, but give us bread too. Maybe sometimes we only learn that when we go through a depression. There was a philosopher in World War II Europe who said, before the war, he said, I don't really need this prayer for bread. Let's make it spiritual. But when the bread lines were forming and there was great shortage of bread, then he realized the importance of praying for bread. So in the Depression in the States and at other times when we've had this shortage, we realize this, but we should. Jesus is saying, realize this all the time. And you see, it's not just about bread. It's about all of the essentials of life, as the Catechism reminds us. It's about clothing and shelter and food and drink and all these things. We pray, and just for the necessities, bread. Not for more, just for the necessities. Now, we may have more. Jesus is not prohibiting riches here. He's not prohibiting having bread in the cupboards that's being stored there, or a bank account, or planning for the future. But he's saying the focus has to be on what we need, so that when we have this spiritual, bodily sort of prayer, we are reminded that in the body, for every single need, we need God. And he takes care of that, of course. That's what Jesus is saying. He's going to answer this prayer. We need not worry. We may not go hither, thither, and yon, treasuring up to ourselves things on the earth. Just pray about bread. That's your focus. Do we do that? I mean this. This is a prayer when we're considering buying a house, or selling a car, raising a family, where we should live, all these things. It brings us back to basics and reminds us of the necessity of this relationship with God, out of which the wonderful spiritual life will flow. But right here, pray for daily bread and mean it, men, as you lead the families. And if you're single, your own household, mean, Lord, grant bread. And when he gives, you thank him for bread. That's it. Focus on that. Daily, second point. Daily, give us this day our daily bread. Twice seems to be emphasized there that this is a prayer not to stockpile. Imagine if Jesus had said, give us this decade, our 10 years' worth of bread. And then, you know what would happen? We'd receive the decade of bread. We'd say, see you later, Lord. And 10 years later, we'd come back for more bread and more God. How wise is Jesus? Give us this day the God we need every day. As surely as we need bread and air and water, essentials. We need God every day, and so we pray to him for daily bread. And that's the picture of the manna. The manna in the wilderness was given every day, wasn't it? Isn't that amazing, children? For some 40 years, this white thing from heaven came down, and it rested upon the ground in the bushes and so on. It was there for the people to gather just what they needed every day. You know, it was called manna. You know why that was called that? That's a Hebrew expression, which is a question. Manna means, what is it? See, it's a question So that manna is this thing that is so not identified in its identity. It's this thing from heaven, it's bread from heaven, but it's a wonder bread. That's what it was. It was his wonder. And so the people were left with questions. And they were left with the wonder of God who provides. And amazing, this. And so the people gathered in every day. And remember what happened when they gathered more? They became greedy and they said, you know what, we're going to maybe sell some of this stuff later on. What happened? It rotted and it stank. There was an odor. You see, in the houses where the manna was stockpiled, the disobedience smelled. I wonder if some of our houses are smelly. Yeah, I know. You have your air fresheners. And since everybody seems to be not concerned about daily bread so much anymore, we're used to the smell of disobedience. We gain a lot of things, and we plan, and we have IRAs and 401ks and so on. And again, they're not wrong in themselves, but the way we've gone about it, I fear, is often not with a daily dependence in the great God of our provision every single day, who's a reality to us because he's the real I am that I am, the God of wonder who provides for creatures and for us, who's not to be taken for granted. And so we turn to God before we turn into Myers or to the bank or to the stock exchange. This is the point of this daily, daily bread. I could speak more of that, but I want to get to the hour. Yes. This is an amazing expression that Jesus gives here. The first time that hour is used, there'll be an hour, O-U-R, before forgive us our debts and do not as we forgive our debtors. The first one is for the daily bread. And what does our mean? Our means it belongs to us, doesn't it? It belongs to us. Now you think about that. Here we are, creatures of the dust, praying to God, give us what's due to us. That's kind of the idea. Give us what's ours. Mine and the neighbor's, but something that belongs to us. Something that we have coming to us, we might think that is the prayer. And in a way, it is. You know why, beloved? Well, it's not because we're just born on this earth and we have a right to things. In fact, we realize that because men and women and all humans are fallen in Adam, they have no right to anything. They can't just pray. This is not a prayer for everybody. Give us this day our daily bread. No. Even as forgive us our debts is not a prayer for everybody as we forgive our debtors and so on. And our Father is not for everybody. It's for God's people. For everybody, you see, is a robber with regard to bread, with regard to the things of the earth, with regard to mansions, with regard to, you know, a place in the Bahamas and so on. We're all thieves and robbers, stealing, taking this creation for ourselves because we think we are as God and we can do whatever we want. But I find here, beloved, when we are taught by Jesus himself, when the disciples were first taught this, to say, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus reminding the disciples of their unique status as people of God through his own mediation. For you see, the hour is now right. It is now right to say, because we have been given a right to the possession of all things. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come. And we wonder sometimes in the Lord's Prayer, where's Jesus? He's not speaking of himself here, it seems. And yet he's behind every single petition. And he's the reason why we can say to the God of heaven, our Father which art in heaven, because for our sake, Jesus is our Savior and the way to adoption. And also the way to bread that we can say is ours. A life on this earth that is ours. You realize he's really said this already in the Beatitudes when he said, of the meek they shall inherit the earth. And what he's saying there is that we are the people of God because of Jesus Christ, who has purchased us and the whole planet and the whole universe for us, let alone daily bread that God will give to us. The hour is beautiful. It speaks of the right that we're given to life in this earth and to possess the life so that we can live as God's people. The Bible speaks of this. It speaks of the fact that in 1 Corinthians 3, 23, for example, verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And verse 21 has said, all things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. The idea is that because Jesus has died, he's forgiven our sins, and we are God's, now God gives us all kinds of things, let alone the daily bread for which we pray, which is ours, waiting to be given by the Father. It's the idea, too, of Romans 8 and 28 and following. In verse 32, for example, we read, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And daily bread, too. Here's the gospel. Besides that, it's the gospel that says other people matter too. And when we are taken into the communion of the all things and realizing that they're a gift from God because of the inheritance of this whole world that Jesus has himself earned for himself, other people start to matter. And it's not just me. The prayer isn't, give me my daily bread. Give me what I have coming to me. Sounds really selfish, doesn't it? But give us our daily bread. Give that member of the body, as well as I, daily bread. And use me as well. See, there's something here that should not be lost upon us. We're praying, give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for bread, to be sure. We're hoping as well, because this is biblical, that with the bread God will give even more than we need right now so that we can meet the needs of others. Give us this day our daily bread. And use me, O Lord. And we're praying as well, give us this day our daily work so that we can work. And as our children grow and they become young men and women, they can work for this daily bread. Because that's a part of the prayer, you realize it. God is not saying, you have a right to bread because you're lazy and you can expect a miracle. No, give us this day our daily bread. Is God working through the laws of work and eat and not work and you don't eat? That's Thessalonians. He who doesn't work shall not eat. Very, very spiritual is this on-the-ground prayer that God would give us the means whereby he will provide for bread, job, talents, courage, diligence. So our catechism reminds us. So the hour, very important that we know Jesus, we know our right to this bread, our living for him and with the body. It leads to this final point. The life. When Jesus says we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we should believe that. We should. When we're praying and we're kept by this praying from the temptation to seek the world for itself, And we're led then to the higher life and the things that matter. Jesus also keeps us from worry about the future. I think there's some of us here who really worry about things. The higher life is worry-free. I promise you that because that's promised in the Bible. It should be. And Jesus goes on to say that as you seek the things above and as you're just praying for your daily bread, you're leaving it all with God. And it could be. It will be. You don't have as much as the neighbor. It will be that you don't have as much as you want now. It will be that you can't progress the corporate ladder because that would mean compromising. You're praying to God after all, and you're not going to pray to God as you're compromising and stealing from Him on the Lord's day, stealing from Him because you're basically a thief with your corporation. But as you're seeking the kingdom in this world and content with daily bread, worry-free, covetous-free, and a rich life. And God will use that answered prayer to be a blessing to many and to you and your family. I think sometimes with regard to the earthly needs of my family, and I'm sure yours, we can really be so busy in this earth, don't we? Aren't we? So busy. Wondering how we even got to church. What a whirlwind of activity. The 6 days of the week, and we can work and work and work, or play and play and play, and worry. Worry. Or covet. This prayer is for you to make, for me. For peace. That's what it is. Leave it with God. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and sufficient every day is God. And grace with the bread. You realize that with the bread, as we pray for bread, grace comes. Without the blessing and grace of God upon the bread, we might have a lot of bread, but it's not a gift of God's love to us then. Our houses could be cursed with a lot of bread and 3 refrigerators and all of these homes in the Bahamas and all of these sailboats and so on. But blessing with bread, that's everything. Whether it be white, rye, or pumpernickel. Grace with the bread. So pray. God our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. I'm on the mission, Lord. I'm here for you. I'm here only because of you. And this is mine only by the rights of Jesus. And I want to serve you. And in this body, it's going to be that I'm going to be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. And in this body, I'm going to be pure. And I'm going to pray, Lord, keep me from sin. Keep this provided for body and family and church from sin, and pure and in the way of godliness. Oh God, bless me with bread that way. Set aside the bread and me with the bread as I eat and drink for you. Now it could be again. You don't have all you want, but it will be. That God will have His way with you, show His love to you, and not only make you worry-free and covetous-free, but happy. Blessed those who hear the prayer, who answer or who receive the answers to prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray that we may truly rely on you for daily bread, that we may truly know that you are with us, that we may truly receive answers to prayer. May this congregation be well fed with the Word of God that reminds us that in our eating and drinking, life from above is everything, even on this earth now, but soon, soon in the glory of heaven. Can hardly wait. But meantime, we pray, Lord, care for us and our children, all our needs and the needs of your people everywhere. Use us, Father, to minister to others in their needs. Give us good work and rain and sun and all that is necessary for our necessities and for your kingdom and will to be done. For Christ's sake, amen. Let's sing now the final number 407, Guide Thee, Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Afterwards, we'll receive the benediction. But Guide Me, O Great Jehovah, 407. Receive God's parting benediction. Go in peace, satisfied with the fullness of God Himself. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you, now and forever. Amen.